Guys, I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about dealing with offense. Dealing with offense. I feel this is so important for us to grasp, to understand, because we live in an age of perpetual offense. I mean, come on, if you look around what's happening right now, everybody is offended with everyone at this moment, okay? Things that's been tweeted, I mean, somebody... A lot of people are, you know, offended by a certain president that just goes around and tweeting all different things and comments right now. But it's interesting what this scripture says in Matthew 24:10. It says, "And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he endures to the end shall be saved." So it already says there in Matthew that many will be offended, okay? How many of you found that in your life you experience offenses, okay? Offense is an event. But I believe that taking an offense, it is something that becomes so personal and it can grow. It starts with offense and then it moves on to betrayal. And I believe that offense is the breeding ground for betrayal. And we just see this happening all around right now. You know, this is the truth. The truth is, I believe the reason why it's so hard for you to stay happy is because it's so easy for you to get offended. And I know that this is true for my own life. You know, I remember, you know, when we got married, you know, in our first year, I mean, you know, Lenny and Callie, you guys have been doing great, but, you know, I remember moments, you know, in our relationship that I've just taken so many things so personally. Things that Andrew will say, and, you know, I remember just going to church some Sundays, you know, ready to get up to give my sermon, and, you know, just before I get up, you know, I'm in, you know, in worship, like praising God, but just like an hour before that, we've had the biggest fight. You know, we've had, you know, we just so badly offended each other on the way to church. And now you're standing in church and like, "Oh Lord, we praise you. Thank you." And I just knew, you know, just before I got up, there's no way that I can come here, stand here this morning. This didn't happen this morning, right? But it happens about 7 years ago. And, you know, just before I got up, I just kind of squeezed Andrea's hand, you know, and she knew what that meant, you know, and just kind of looked at her. We kind of kissed and made up right there. And it was just that release that I felt, that I experienced. Because I believe what the enemy is after is relationship. You know, he wants to, you know, he hates anything that it is that is covenant, that is intimate. And so, what I've found, you know, over the years, that the enemy, he doesn't come announcing himself with a trumpet sound coming in and said, "Hey, I'm going to destroy your relationship." Okay, it doesn't happen that way. I've found that the enemy is more like a silent killer. All right, now I don't want to give him credit here this morning. I think there's too much emphasis and focus on the enemy. The enemy did this and the enemy did that. I think we need to come to a point where we take responsibility. Amen? We take responsibility as Christians. If you're walking, if you're in a relationship with God, you've got no right to take offense. You don't have any right to take offense. And so, what I've found is that what the enemy does, he obviously has an agenda. It's very clear. He has an agenda, he has a strategy, and he has a tactic. The agenda is destruction. The strategy is division, okay? He wants to divide. And the tactic is that he uses little offenses. Little offenses. And we want to look at what that offenses is. The word in the Greek translation, if you look at the Greek word for offense, it's scandalon. It's the word scandalon. And that simply means a bait stick of trap to capture. It lures that bait that's put on that stick. It lures the animal, and then it ensnares him. An offense is any act that brings annoyance. How many of you have been annoyed by people? Okay, we all get annoyed by people. We get irritated by people. All right? Brings annoyed displeasure or resentment, a lack of politeness. My goodness, have you been to the market, the Christmas market? There's a lack of politeness, okay? People just getting through, bumping you around, and then says a failure to show regard for others, wounding the feelings of others, to cause to stumble. Now, what I've seen is that the enemy, he puts out a bait, right? There's things, the reality is you will be offended, but it's the way that you deal with offense. Because it is there. I can guarantee you, if you leave today, this week, you will be offended by people. It's these snares that is set, it's set for us. And for us, I believe it's a way of maturity. I believe God wants to grow us, and He wants us to mature in our relationship. And when we mature, we get better at dealing with offenses. We recognize it. We discern it. Even when somebody starts talking and in that conversation, you know it's coming. But we step right into it. And that is where He wants you to be ensnared. You know, Proverbs 18:19 says, an offended friend is harder to win back than a fortified city. It's so true, friends. This is a fortress there called Masada. It's a stronghold. How many of you have heard about the guy called Herod? King Herod. Now, King Herod lived there. That is his fortress. Now, he's experienced a lot of offense in his life to such a point where he isolated, he came to this place, he built a city on top of this mountain. It had big walls. And what happens when people get offended? They build walls. Have you recognized some walls in this city? Have you seen some walls in this city? It's what happens. It's what happens in our lives. Now, I want you to just picture this morning. Here's a big garden in the front. And this garden represents our hearts and our lives. And the moment, friends, we step into offense, you get offended by your partner or somebody didn't ask you to this wedding, or somebody didn't ask you or recognize you, the moment you get offended, you take a piece of plank and you start putting it down in this garden. And then there's another offense, another piece of plank just being nailed down. And another one, and another one. And eventually, what do you build is a fence. Of all these offenses, you build a fence in your heart, and you keep people out. I've seen it. I've been back to South Africa, and God has done a lot in my life. I mean, I left in 1999, but before there, I mean, if you've had some BC days, before Christ days, okay? And it's not easy to leave things in the past. And it's amazing how God is in the process of just dealing with things in our hearts. It's a continuous thing. You think you have forgiven that person, but when you drive down that road, I remember driving past that school, and I'm reminded of that teacher that said that offended me in front of the class. I'm like, oh my gosh, I thought I forgave her. But you confront it. You've built some thought patterns in your mind. Thought processes. You go down another road and you remember that schoolyard bully, that neighbor, that kid, that annoying kid that used to do this stuff. And, you know, and those are the things that we confront it with. That's the fences we build, one by one. And what it does, it brings separation. It separates. It separates you from your neighbors. God said, love your neighbor. Love your enemies. Oh my goodness. It's so difficult. But you've built this fence. And even in the marriage, we've just had some amazing people that I respect and, you know, just sharing. But, you know, you have a marriage here. People coming together on that day, saying, looking each other in the eyes, I love you, and making all these promises. And when the one doesn't live up to those promises, the other one gets offended. You know, we have some, if you step into a relationship, you've got some expectations, right? And was that when those expectations are not met, the one gets offended and then turns the back on the other. And then eventually, then there's a separation that takes place. There's that fence that's been built between the two parties. They're not no longer talking to each other. And it grows. It starts with a offense. And then the offense, it's a breeding ground for betrayal. I'm offended. Instead of turning to each other and saying, you know what, let's talk through this. Let's deal with this. I'm sorry, but, you know, they touch a little bit about pride. And pride can also be offense. And so it's so difficult to forgive and look each other in the eyes, and then eventually from betrayal, there's resentment, and it builds up in your heart. And it's so difficult. And so what I believe God wants to do in our lives is that He wants to take back, you know, He wants to break down these walls that we've built in our hearts. Just in last week in West Belfast, we had a picture, I think Lenny, you shared on a dump truck, you know, and, you know, this dump truck, you know, people just throwing some things in the dump truck. And I've done, you know, a bit of construction, project management, and I remember ordering those skips and, you know, to get rid of this rubble and junk. And, you know, and I think it's so important that, you know, us, you know, for us as individuals, as Christians, as walking with God, that we can evaluate our hearts and see what are those fences? What do we need to take down? What do we need to remove out of our hearts and put in that skip, in that dump truck? So we've seen these walls being erected all around our city, bringing division between neighbors, bringing separation. Two types of offended people: those who have been mistreated, and number two, those who think they have been mistreated, but actually were not. Sometimes we fall in one of these. And I've certainly been mistreated. And I've not always responded well. And this is what I want to help you with. This is really where I feel God wants to give us His blueprint and His instruction. How do we deal with these offenses? How do we deal with these things in our lives? Friend, you might have been mistreated by people. People might have said things about you. People might have betrayed you. But I believe there's a better way, and I believe God wants us to respond in a better way. You know, like I've said before, we can either react or we can respond. Reaction is out of this emotion, and you just throw it right back at them. I'm, you know, I don't get mean, I get even. There's revenge, justice. Warning signs that an offense has taken place. You know, you get irritation. There's irritation that you feel, frustration, defensiveness, putting up walls in relationship, distancing ourselves from family, friends, or church activities. You know, Christmas is always a time when we come together and celebrate. But I found this sometimes some of the most challenging times of the year. Anybody agree? You come around, you gather, you've got some family that's coming from that side of town and from different parts, and you sit around a table, you know, and you sing all these songs, and, you know, you pull a cracker. How many of you do the pull the cracker? And, you know, you guys still share stories. And I've often experienced a lot of conflict during that time. Everybody's tense, right? Got to get everything ready and prepared, and, you know, everybody is under pressure. And there's sometimes something said, and then you just take offense. And I've seen how many of these moments have ended up in tears and people not speaking to each other, avoiding each other. There's some things of last year that were said and done, and it's so, and they're still keeping these grudges against each other. There's a fence that's been erected. And it's so hard for them to get on. But I just feel like as I was praying about today, I feel like there's things that God wants us to lay down this year that He doesn't want us to take into the new year. He said, forget the former things. I want to do a new thing. And I really want to declare it over you. But there's some things that we need to lay down. It's not easy. It's not easy. But I want to give you some steps and help this morning. Are you ready? This is from the prophetess, Frozen Elsa, that gives us some a word. She says, the past is in the past. Let it go. Friends, I want to say to you, let it go. Let go. Choose to let go of that offense. You know, it says that first scripture that their love will grow cold for one another. Now, that's a bit of a frozen. We've got a frozen patch here in our doorstep this morning. But this is what happens. People's love grow cold. We don't want to get to that point. And so we have to let go. Be quick to forgive. That's what the scripture instructs us here. Colossians 3 verse 13 from the Message says, So chosen by God for this new life of love, dressed in the wardrobe God picked out for you. I love that. The wardrobe God has picked out for you. This is it. Dressed in the wardrobe, it says here, for you, compassion, kindness. Put on the compassion, the kindness, the humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place. Ooh. Be quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. I find it sometimes hard and strange when, you know, we are in a relationship with somebody that has forgiven us, but yet we find it so hard to forgive. If you think about it, he forgave us. That was the mission. He came to restore. And so we see in through scripture how, you know, Jesus instructs the disciples to forgive. He teaches them how to keep your love on and not to get offended. He said, be quick to forgive. It's not easy, but it is possible. It says, because I'm forgiven, I can forgive. Because of Jesus, forgiveness and grace can flow through our lives. Friends, when you get an understanding of grace, I can go and talk about this for 4 weeks. But if you get a revelation of grace, it changes everything. It changes the way you view people. If you know that you've forgiven, if you've not received grace, it's not something you can give. Grace is something that we received. We don't deserve it, but we receive it anyway. He gives it to us. And so when you look at some people, you're like, man, that person doesn't deserve my time. My energy. He doesn't deserve me even going to him and saying sorry or whatever. Friends, we got to extend grace. That's what he expects from us. It's the higher way. It's the better way. This is what Smeets says. Lewis B. Smeets says this. To forgive is to set a prisoner free and to discover that the prisoner was you. I love that. We can easily become a prisoner. If we don't forgive, those are the walls that we start erecting around our lives, isolating ourselves. And so one by one, God is calling us to break it down. One of the things that I've seen so many people, when they're offended, they can become the victim. This is what he's done to me. You know, we could have those victim mentalities. People with a victim mentality say things like, if it weren't for my spouse, we would have a happy marriage. If it weren't for my parents or my past, I wouldn't be so angry. If it weren't for my boss, I would be more successful. All these things build up in our minds. Friends, quit being a victim. Now, this takes time because it's a thought process that you have established in your mind over all these years. You know, when people, oh yeah, here we go. You just receive that offense and it builds. It builds like a fortress in your mind. And so God is giving us some instructions here. He said, do not conform to that pattern, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's a renewal process. When we start reading some of these scriptures about getting a revelation of grace, of forgiveness, it changes our perspective. It changes our approach. We become softer because our hearts have been hardened. And He changes our hearts of a stone into heart of flesh. And then, as I said before, we've got to take responsibility. Take responsibility. Take responsibility for your words and your actions. It's so important. Be slow to speak and swift to hear. Before you, when you get, you feel, oh, you know, I want to react. Friends, be slow to speak. And there's moments, you know, Andrea, you know, when we've had our moments and, you know, I just kind of, and Steve made a valid point, you know, before, in front of the kids, you know, it's not a place to deal with conflict. So in that moment, you just want to, you know, want to react. But so be slow to speak. Take responsibility for your actions. And this is a key. Be filled with the Father's love. This is when you spend time with Him. This is when you, that intimacy with God, with between you and God. Let Him fill you with His love. Let that intimacy grow. Because that's what He commands us. Go and love your neighbor. Love your enemy. Now, I can't love Him if I've not received that. And that's the revelation that He wants you to encounter and receive in your life. I'm just going to end off with this scripture. Philippians 1:9-10. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Just stand with me this morning. I'm going to pray. Father, we pray this morning that you will help us in our relationships with people. Father, we ask that you'll help us to be quick to forgive. Father, we desperately need a revelation, Father, of your grace and of your love. Father, we thank you that you have forgiven us, Father. I thank you that you've dropped all the offenses against us on the cross. Lord, we thank you, Lord, because that you have forgiven us, that we can forgive others. And Lord, this morning, I pray that you will search our hearts. Lord, especially at this time of the year, Father, I pray that you will remove anything, God, any stumbling block, anything, any bait, Lord, anything that we have, Lord, received into our lives, Lord, anything that's occupying our hearts. I pray that you remove it, Lord. And I pray that little by little, Lord, that you will start, that you'll help us to remove those fences in our lives, in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, help us to respond in the opposite spirit. We thank you, Jesus. You were so good at this. In the way that you responded. And where you were offended. And you were called the rock of offense. And we want to follow. We want to imitate you. We want to follow your example. Help us to love people. Help us to love the unlovables that's in our lives. But I thank you, Lord, that you are bringing us to a new level of maturity. Help us to mature in you. Help us to be teachable. Help us to follow your instruction. In Jesus' name. And Father, I pray for people here this morning that have been offended, that have been mistreated, even betrayed. I pray that you'll bring healing and restoration in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you, Lord, that you make all things new. And Lord, help us to leave things behind in this year. Father, we don't want to take this baggage with us in 2018. Help us truly to forget the former things in Jesus' name. Not to dwell on the past. In Jesus' name. Come and wash over us this morning. Lord, show us those people that we need to be reconciled with. Because you call us to be ministers of reconciliation. As we are reconciled with you and right standing with you, Lord, you instruct us to take on that mandate of bringing reconciliation in this city. And we just pray over this city this morning. And we pray that you heal relationships, that you restore homes, Father, that you restore marriages in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that you break walls in this city, spiritual walls. We come against the spirit of division in the name of Jesus. We recognize how the enemy's strategy is to bring offense, to bring separation and division. But I thank you, Father, that you long to establish your kingdom on this earth, in this city. And we pray, let your kingdom come. That your will be done in our lives, in this city, as it is in heaven, in Jesus' mighty name.